belong to the real community of Islam. But I'm the trustee. And I'm sure that those people who have trusted me with that will not hold it against me if I use that money to save these properties. Now, we got a promise. We might even try to use that money to save these properties. I heard that there's about 100 people in Chicago here who've been promised a piece of the action that's going to be gotten off of that. A great number of people have been promised some action. Let me tell you, people who do things like that, they don't fulfill their promises. Now, if any of you here that's been promised, I'm telling you, you trust in people that'll leave you in the cold. If you know anything, you won't be able to find them. They don't give nothing to people like you, I'm telling you. They just use you and throw you away. Now, dear beloved believers, let us begin our talk now. For this afternoon, I hope I can make it much shorter than Gary's talk. In 1930, July the 4th is the day that's given, a man calling himself by a different name, W.F. Muhammad, Wallace Farrar Muhammad, Wallace D. Farrar, and other names, came to Detroit, Michigan, and began preaching a symbolic religion that he gave the name Islam to. And he was successful in making slow-thinking, slow-moving people of the poor and deprived communities of Detroit, which was the whole thing was a poor and deprived community in the early 30s. He was successful in getting them to become fast-moving, physically fast-moving people and fast-thinking people with his own social reform doctrine and program. His idea was this, that the American so-called Negro, as he called them, were people who had no faith, no love, no respect for self. And that the people had been made primitive in their mind. And to approach them with street sense would miss them, would mean to miss them. So his plan was that the sense should be put in symbolic language, code and symbolism, and be given to them under the shell of an attractive thing. The attraction was power, superiority, supremacy, black supremacy, and plenty of wealth to come in the future. He told the people back in those days that you came from a land that was wealthy, so wealthy that the little children played with diamonds bigger than marbles. And he told them that gold was just lying in the street. And he told them that if you go to Mecca, you'll find the streets in Mecca paved solid with gold. This is what he told them. And he told them that if you believe and remain faithful, one day we're coming back for you to take you away from this hellish country. He called it the wilderness of North America, hell, the hells of North America. See, we're coming back to take you away, saying we're going to take you back home, and each of you is going to have castles. See, your castles are being built for you, pardon me, now. When you get there, they'll be finished. But he told them that while you're here, sacrifice. Don't buy any luxuries. Don't have radios. They didn't have TVs in those days. No radio. 1 meal a day. Don't waste money on food, clothes, shelter, and medicine. See, if you live as I'm teaching you to live, you won't have a need to buy a lot of medicine. This is what he told them. And he also suggested with a hint that they tried to bring the country down. He told them that certain Bilalians, so-called Negroes, called Uncle or Mr. W.D. Farrar, he used so much water a day. He's careful. He's following the advice of the Cavy, the Caucasian. Say, but another uncle, he used as much water as he wanted. Then in another lesson, he said, there are so many ducks that drink water from the lake. Then how long will it take these ducks to dry this caveman's lake? Yeah. So he didn't only teach us to save and not contribute to the economy of America, but he also taught us how to work against the economy of America. But luckily, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't as open for all that he said as he obviously thought he was. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he came into power after the Master Farrar left, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began forming the ideas in the community in the way that he felt it should be. So he he got rid of a lot of old lessons. He took them out of the hands of the people. Those problem books and actual facts and a lot of those things, he took them out of the hands of the people. And he taught them himself. And what he did was he took it from a real hard kind of rational, hard rationalism, hard materialistic rationalism, and he brought it into a kind of Christian-like, a church-like spiritualism, but with God as a physical being and no spiritual life at all, no spiritual existence at all. The spiritual concept was in physical form and had no other existence except in physical form. But in language, his teaching was very much like the church teaching. Instead of saying Jesus Christ is the Savior, he said Master Farrar is the Savior, and I'm his apostle. And he preached doom, the doom of America, that every Caucasian man, woman, child, and baby and all will be burned up in this country. But he came to even change that. And he said, well, they might get an extension of time. Said some of them might be saved. A remnant, he said, using the Bible language, he said a remnant of them might be saved. So he gradually, wisely, began to adjust and make alterations on the doctrine that he received so that it would be tolerable, so that it would be tolerated in America. Because if he had followed to the letter the teachings that he got originally from Master Farrar, it would have died out like Nobuju Ali's movement did. It would have been destroyed physically by the Caucasian people. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, being wise, when the time came, when he saw that things were changing and the people no longer could take it as he was giving it, he began to change it. And he changed it almost every 10 years. The 30s were met with the 40s. The 40s was a change from the 30s. The 50s was a change from the 40s. The 60s was a change from the 50s. And the 70s, he lived to see the 70s. The 70s was a change from the 60s. So he gradually, wisely brought this organization, or this community, to the to a shape and form that will enable it to exist in America and not be cleaned out. Now, he called himself a messenger of God. But he said, I'm not a prophet. And when you asked him about messenger of God, he gave you a different idea about what he meant messenger was. He didn't tell us that he meant messenger was like Moses or Abraham and Jesus, Prophet Muhammad. He said, I didn't receive mine like that. So if he said he didn't get his like that, that meant that he didn't receive revelation as they received revelation. So he was not a messenger or a prophet as they were. Elijah Muhammad never pretended that he was some prophet in the sense that the prophets are prophets in the Bible and the Quran. He said, I received mine's mouth from the mouth. He said, God in the flesh. Is that right? God in the flesh. And then he taught you about that God in a way to let you know, if you were wise, that this ain't the real God. He would say, God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. You see? And then he would use the word God in a loose kind of way to let you know I'm not talking about God in the way you know God in religion. He said God means power and force. Isn't that what he said? He said, in fact, I use his words. He said God only means power and force. He didn't say it meant righteousness. He didn't say it meant divinity. He didn't say it meant creator. He said God only means power and force. Well, I have power and force. You have power and force. Everybody got power and force. So if God only means power and force, wherever there's power and force, there's God. Is that right? So what was he talking about? He was talking about a social concept. A social reform concept. In that concept, he had taken the name God to represent something else. Not the God, but I hate to use the word, a cultist God. A secret society God. To make you better understand, this is not doing justice to his teachings. A gang God. You know, gang get together and he'll call himself Christ, Holy Blood, King David. You go to their gangs and you'll find all these figures there. They choose these figures because they know the people that have heard how great these figures are. When they see King David come in, they got to respect King David. You see? And one come in, he might call himself Jehovah. So when Jehovah comes in and speaks to the gang respects Jehovah because he heard Jehovah. Jehovah's a bad man, right? Okay, well, Master Farad and Ahmed Elijah Muhammad used symbolic terms from religion to get the same effect, knowing that our people were sold on Jesus, sold on God in the Spirit. They had to be taken away from that. So he used the term God and Allah for really social reformers. Social reformers, to get you to believe in them. How could Master Farad compete with Jesus in the black church? Unless he is Jesus, our God. So this is how they reason. And they say, in order to compete with them, we have to say we are God. So many of them said, we all are God. Don't you remember that? In the 1930s, in fact, there was a brother, he ain't been too long gone. His name was Big Robert. Everywhere you saw him, in the restaurant, anywhere, he would tell you, he just made it a business, a habit of telling people I'm Allah. I'm a black man. I'm Allah. I'm the supreme being. Yeah, he used to tell us that. And the news got back to Elijah Muhammad, and it irritated him so much until sometime he would come out. He said, don't be going around here telling nobody you are Allah. He said, certainly we all are Allah, but you don't go around telling people that. Yeah, he did. And you who have some problems believing what I'm saying. We got these books still around. You want to get an ink specialist to test it and see if it's 1930. You can test it if you want. We still got it. So we know what was taught. We know how this movement called the Nation of Islam was formed, and we know how it managed to survive. It was formed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in symbolic language. Religious language was put on a social movement, a movement for social reform. And the figures in that movement, the top leaders, were given divine dress or divine image. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his teacher, Master Farad Muhammad. His teacher became the God, the Christ, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad became the apostle or the messenger. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I'm not teaching you religion. One coming after me will teach you religion. If he wasn't teaching you religion, then who was he teaching you? And I'm giving you his own words. He said, I'm not teaching you religion. One will come after me who will teach you religion. My job is only to pull you out of the fire. And he said, do it. He said, at any cost. Is that right? See, and he told the imams, he said, you have to trick them to come into what we want them to be in. He said, just like, and he told many of you, some of you disagreeing right now. You heard him say, just like Yaakov built his nation, we have to build ours. That's what he said. And Yaakov built his with tricks, lies and tricks. He said, just like Yaakov built his world, we have to build ours. He never claimed that everything he said. He said, if anybody can prove me lying, I'll give him $10 out of my brother's vest pocket, out of my big brother's vest pocket. Now, you know, any man who keeps telling people, if anybody can prove me lying, I'll give him $10,000 out of my big brother's vest pocket. The man is trying to tell you something. He wants you to think. Could he be lying? The man was a merciful teacher. He didn't have to do that. If he was 100% crook, he wouldn't even mention paying for lying. Is that right? 100% crook is afraid to mention lying. He don't want you to even think about lying. He's afraid you'll see something. But a man that tell you, if you catch me lying, I'll give you $10,000 out of my big brother's vest pocket. That's a man that wants you to keep your eyes open. He's baiting the fish and he hopes to get them all in, but he hopes that some fish will see the bait and understand and take the good part and leave the bad part. You see? Well, praise to Allah, we survived. We survived. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they accomplished their job of social reform. They brought us from disrespect of ourselves, from hatred of ourselves, to a respect, to a dignity, to a self-respect, to a high esteem of ourselves. Is that right? They brought us to that. They made us stand erect and walk like proud and civilized people, even though we didn't have any education. Made us a poor man, ain't making hardly nothing but $40 a week. Got six to take care of in his family in 1940. Oh, not this, 1960, pardon me. Yeah. 1960, I got a witness there, he knows. $40 a week with big family. But he made that poor man keep on a white shirt almost every day. A tie every day. Nice suit all the time. Looked like he was a businessman handling about $50,000 a week in business. Didn't have nothing but a promise. Is that right? Yeah. Gave that man the courage to go and argue with professors. And he'd never been to school. Go and argue with professors. Tell him, I got the actual facts from Almighty God, the Supreme Being, on earth. A black man. Then an earthquake 660 in Turner. Unit followed by 21 Cypher. Do you know that? No, they didn't teach you that. Do you know the diamond of the sun? You run it down to him. They didn't teach you that. Tell them how far Jupiter is from the sun and how far Mercury is. They didn't teach you that. Tell them the inches, square inches of the planet Earth. Now, ain't no geographer or nothing ever came up with the square inches of the planet Earth. Not a fuck on the planet Earth that will have those figures. But he would tell him, never been to school, running off to the professor. I don't know, I used to know it's 790 quadrillion, 613, 3 and 581. You know, we used to run that down, didn't we? Run down the square inches of the earth and just hear the demand of learned people. Good God Almighty, maybe these people have got some. Now, if that wasn't a master teacher, tell me what is a master teacher? He knew how to bombard the empty mind of a deprived man and woman with great enumeration, so that when they get them, they think they're so proud and wise, can't nobody tell them a thing. Einstein, if he had come up with his theories of relativity and tried to argue with Dr. Elijah Muhammad, every time he opened his mouth, somebody ought to order him, sit down, fool. Sit down, sir. I'm giving you facts, man. All right. Now, I'm not saying this to belittle or take anything away from Marcus Garvey movement or the Civil Rights Movement. They all were great, they did their thing. But I'm telling you, the most phenomenal of them all was Master Farrakhan, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam and the Wilderness of North America. That's right. I'm going to tell you something else, because this day is not the 4th, but this whole holiday weekend, we are spending it in the spirit of patriotism, not only patronizing America, the United States, and the flag, patronizing the founding of a community in America named the Lost Foundation of Islam and its transformation into what it is today. All praise is to Allah, Allahu Akbar. And let me tell you something else. I don't care what people say about yesterday. Certainly, I laugh at it myself sometimes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to sit up and laugh at it. He did. I'm telling you the truth. He used to sit up and laugh at it. Say, you know that brother so-and-so and so. Say, he's still in that problem. Say, he's just working and working trying to solve that problem. He said, the thing was solved when it was given. The question and the answer came all at once. Just a whole lot of figures to make you think. That's all. Everything that he gave was to shock us, to force us to think big, to think big, think big, think big. We had been taught to think small so long, we had to have myths to shock us out of the fear to think for self and to think big. Please, men didn't represent Allah as Allah should be represented. But I do sincerely believe that both of them were conscientious men. If Master Farad was an undesirable person, he wouldn't have used the Quran. The Quran made trouble for him. He would have just taken from the Quran, but wouldn't have given any credit to the Quran. But instead, he raised the Quran above his own teachings. He said, this is a pure book, holy book, he said, the Quran. And he said, holy means that that has not been mixed or tampered with in any form. He never said his lessons, his assignments was holy. The only thing he called holy was the Holy Quran. Is that right? All right. And he told God of Elijah Muhammad, he said, don't you try to study Arabic. He said, teach your children Arabic. He said, brother, don't you worry about it. You just teach Islam. Let your children learn Arabic. Why? Because you don't have the mind that is needed for the transformation. And if you study the Holy Quran, you're going to try to make this Holy Quran fit this temporary thing I've given you. Teach your children to study the Holy Quran, and one of them will be given the insight. And one of them will learn to translate my mythical symbolism and bring out the reality in it. That man was trying to protect, preserve that community that he established under a false concept for true Islam. Now I know what some Orthodox Muslims say. Why don't he denounce Master Farad Muhammad? You'll be living around here until all of us die, and I won't denounce Master Farad Muhammad, because Master Farad Muhammad, though he worked wrong, he also worked to kill his wrong in time and bring right into our hands. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to caution you. Don't think that I'm condoning Master Farad's program or strategy. I don't condone it. It was wrong. I want you to understand that. It was wrong. But the man was innocent. Master Farad wasn't Wallace D. Muhammad. He was Master Farad. And with his mind, he was innocent. He thought he was doing a service. And he thought that he was justified in doing it because he was guiding it so that in time it would come to true Islam. So I can't judge that man. Allah has to judge that man. But I'm not saying that what he did was right. I think he could have accomplished the job much better if he had came straight. I think that that man understood our problem enough to come straight. But he didn't understand that. He didn't see it that way. He knew the problem. The Holy Quran, you don't have to come with no twisted stuff like that. You can come straight. The Holy Quran condemns extremism in religion. The Holy Quran encouraged people to establish something for themselves on this earth while they live. The Holy Quran says in the words of the Holy Quran, وَابْتَغِي بِمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. It says, seek with whatever means Allah has made available for to you the afterlife. Well, there's 10 cents, Nasiba, there's many dunya. But don't forget your share, Nasiba, cash. That means your share of this physical world. That's what the Holy Quran says. And then we got a history of the rising of Islam under the perfect example, Prophet Muhammad, 1400 years ago. In 20 years, just 20 years, and history says no conqueror, Alexander and none of the rest, ever did so much in so short a period of time. In only 20 years, less than 20 years, the whole Arabia was brought under truth. All praises to Allah, Allahu Akbar. And he established a society that went out and looked for the poor. In these days and times, the poor do good to find us. But he had men under him who used to go out where the poor people were and inquire, do you have needs? Is the community taken care of? It would share the treasure, the tax, the cash, and the tax with the poor. Now, Prophet Muhammad himself lived on the ground, slept on date skin mattress, mattress of animal skin with a little few leaves in it, pardon me. Flat nothing. When he went before kings of the empire that were dying in those days because the light of truth had risen, when he went before them, he came up as a poor man. Spoke to them as a poor man. Never took on wealth for himself. And under him, the great caliph and the great companions of Prophet Muhammad had wealth, but gave their wealth so the poor could come up, to rise the level of the poor. Made education a must for everybody, men and women, boys and girls. This is history that you don't have to go to Arabia to get. You can go to the Congress Library downtown and get it. You understand? All right. Men that wiped out slavery in that sense, in the sense that we understand slavery, wiped it out. Without an army, with word from God. You all are the slaves of God. He said that you, over and over the Holy Quran says, Ibad Allah. Ibad is the plural of Ab, means slave. All of you are the slaves of Allah. So teaching this language, giving this teaching, and with that language, that you all are the slaves of Allah, the slave master, when he hears this, if faith grows in him, he says, I can't enslave this person. I'm the slave of Allah, and he is the slave of Allah. Then the slave hearing this, he looks at the master and wonders if his faith is right. Isn't he hearing what Prophet Muhammad is saying? That we all are slaves of Allah. He keeps treating me like I'm a slave of his. Bilal, what did he say to Abu Bakr when Abu Bakr gave him an instruction? Abu Bakr, now the ruler, when he gave him an instruction that he didn't want to go along with. Abu Bakr said, and Abu Bakr was the one, if I'm not mistaken, there are people who will know, that bought him, paid his ransom and bought him. Bilal said, if you bought me so that I could be free for Allah, to serve Allah, let me go. But if you bought me to be your slave, another question. Okay? Abu Bilal told his master, you see, Abu Bakr, who wasn't his master then, who had bought his freedom. But Bilal was reminding Abu Bakr, now don't you take on a slave master's mentality now. I know you bought me way back there. But did you buy me to be your slave, or did you buy me so I'd be free to serve Allah? You see? And Abu Bakr, though he was the ruler, with authority over the whole land, he let Bilal have his way. He had to. And he had no intention to have Bilal as a slave. All right, so we have records of a religion, and Islam, the original religion, the pure religion, the only right religion, overcoming slavery, pagan immorality, all kinds of sins, immoral sins. Do you know that people used to commit the sex act right on the road in broad daylight? This is history I'm giving you. This is what Prophet Muhammad had to clean up. People would have the white woman right in the road in broad daylight. Beat slaves unmercifully. All of that was overcome. Society was enriched. And you know what else grew out of that? The light of learning. Many scientists, astronomers, chemists, mathematicians grew out of that religious uprising. So no one who understands all this and understands the condition of the so-called Negro, Bilali people of America would come with some mysticism, some messed up doctrine. He could have come straight. How come he didn't come straight? Because he was a product, he was a child born under a weak and dying Islamic community. Master Farad was a son born in a community that had died. What I mean, not died completely, but the glory, the light of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding had gone down on Pakistan, Egypt, Arabia, all the Muslim world when Master Farad Muhammad was born. So he was born with a mind of his own, and he challenged what they had. He couldn't use what they had. They were trying. Do you know how they were trying to convert people to Islam? I'll tell you. In fact, they still do it, most of them now. They haven't changed. They come to you and they say, God is no Trinity. God is one God. Don't you know that's in the Bible? God is one. La ilaha illallah. And they tell you that, do you know that Muhammad is the last messenger of God? Do you know that Muhammad taught equality? Do you know that Muhammad taught that the black is just as good as the white and the white is just as good as the black? This is the way this was their approach. And if they could attract you with that, then they would begin teaching you how to pray, salat, the five pillars of Islam, the beliefs, and dhikr, etc. This was their approach. They missed most of the people. They lost most of the people. Christians know that the Bible says there's only one God. That won't get it. But they also know that the New Testament says God is three in one. So they, when they tell them that God is one, they say, I know that, but three in one too. And you argue with them, well, it doesn't sound much different to me. It sounds about like the same thing, you know. It's not different enough for them to be attracted to it. And by them being foreigners coming to America, they were afraid to use the full force of the Islamic, thrust. The full force of the Islamic thrust. They were afraid to use it. They were afraid that they would be branded as troublemakers in the country. You see? So they just had to use half material from the Holy Quran. They failed. Master Farad, he had the courage. He had the courage to come here and call all the people devils. By nature. Yeah. And let me tell you something, he was right. Okay, let me explain. You don't know what nature means. Once you come out of the original nature and take on a false nature, you are devil, if you're a devil, by nature. Your nature has changed. Nature can be changed. Nature is changed by changing the habits. If you change the habits over a long enough period of time, you change the nature. And once the nature changes, whatever that thing is that by nature. That has become his nature. That's what he was saying. That's all he was saying. that you are devil, and it has become your nature to be devil. That's what he was saying. And he was right. Well, how can you say, are you saying, I thought you had left that kind of teaching that white people are devils? No, they're not. They're not devils now. But when Master Farrar came, they were devils. The majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of them when Master Farrar came were devils in America. And they were trying hard as they could to protect all their devilishment. But in time, good influences with struggle, with sacrifices in America by Americans, both black and white, as you say, in time, the good elements in the human beings of America begin to manifest. And now it'll be untruth to say that America is a devil government, a devil country, or the white people are devils. It wouldn't be fair. It would be an untruth. Because the majority are not that. It's just a minority that's still that way. But there were a time when the majority were either that way or going along with it. And it doesn't make any difference. If you support it, you're just as bad as the one who's doing it. Now, if Master Farrar had come like this, and if he had said the same thing, do you know your people all didn't come from inferior class of people? Do you know that many of your ancestors came from kings, princes? Do you know you had the knowledge that these people boast of before they got it? He could have said the same thing, but taught Islam straight. You see? He could have told us about Hammurabi, Esau, Sin Mut Sin. He could have told us about all the great men of our ancestors. And then he could have showed us in the Holy Quran how the Holy Quran says that every people have had their prophets. They don't think that all the prophets are Caucasian or Jews. Here is the book says that every people, wherever they are on earth, have had their prophet from God. So don't you know sometime in your history your people have received a prophet from your own kind? See, he could have taught them straight. But he wasn't after teaching the truth as much as he was after making trouble for America. I'm giving you the facts. You can like it or not. He wanted to do right, but his main purpose, and Elijah Muhammad told us that. See, he came to destroy. Didn't come to save. We call him saviors, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said his main role was to destroy the devil. So a man who's having his main role the destruction of a wicked nation, he's not going to take the patience, he's not going to take the time and patience to look and examine carefully how he can get a job done to save a people. He's going to try hard as he can to make his weapon as destructive as he possibly can to get rid of the enemy, if that's what he came for. Right? All right? So that was his main job. He helped us, but his main job was to weaken the Caucasian Americans. You might learn these things later. In the early 30s, and no, not the middle 30s, most of the members that were following Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Ron had gone, about 36, 37. They thought that the war that was stirring up was going to finish America off right there. Many of them sold their furniture, stopped selling that thing, getting rid of what they had. Thought they were getting ready to go out of America. So what they were fed with more than anything else was not the salvation of us, but the destruction of the Caucasians. And most of those who joined, they joined not so much to be saved, they joined to be a part of a group that called white people's devils and said America is going to be destroyed. I can understand it. You can understand it. The way we were treated back in those days, certainly. The Bible says, and then most of us come from a Christian society, and the Bible says, when you see that old wicked nation getting her punishment, rejoice. That's what the Bible says. And as much as she is dealt out to you, you deal out to her double. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so this was the kind of mentality, Christian mentality, that the Master Farad and Army Elijah Muhammad was dealing with. So when we were told that God is coming with the mothership and going to blow this man off the face of earth and burn him up for 390 years, and leave him, I think, 410 years or something like that to cool off. Shoot. The only thing that followed up was the cooling off period. We were on 1,000 years of burning and no cooling off. Yeah, I mean, that group that he attracted with that teaching was those who suffered the most or who had felt it the most. And when they came, they didn't want to hear nothing about no cooling off for America. Burn, 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 baby. Yeah. But all praise is due to Allah.